It is 93.7 WEEI. Rich, Ken, Ted Johnson live from the Ketchus Law Studios. No fee unless you won. Steve on line one is mad we're talking about Boston sports and not the World Cup. Steve, what's up, my man?
Come
How you doing?
Steve.
Yeah, thanks for taking my call. Listen, guys, there's a thing going on. It's called the World Cup.
0-0 right now, Germany and Paraguay.
Yeah, I know it's not your forte, but you know what? You can give a little love back. Like, invite some high school coaches on, maybe for 15 minutes, a day.
I mean, Steve, why do I need a high school coach when I have you? Tell me, what do you want? What part of the World Cup do you want to talk about? Honestly, I'm being serious. What part of the World Cup? Because I love watching the World Cup, except for the games themselves. They've been fairly boring, but everything around it's been fantastic. Please, what would you like to talk about World Cup?
I would like to talk about the fact that 10 African teams qualified, 9 of 10 made it to the round of 32. It's certainly a signal that the game has changed radically since 1994 and that we're seeing the quality of the play in different parts of the world, you know, equalizing, for lack of a better term, shown both by the American team's performance and just shown by the number of players, both for the Americans and for a lot of, for example, the African sides. You know, something like 30% of the guys are playing for top five leagues. So the game has changed. I can't really speak tactically to the game because I'm not an expert, but I think we've seen some really good play.
If you want to hear tactical soccer talk from him,
hold on, Jack.
No, you know what, Steve, I'm glad you're like, these are cool storylines. I just, every game I watch, I happen to watch the ones where they're not scoring, and it's been tough. There's been a couple good ones. Like I watched. I know the Cape Verde story is like a great story. Like that's one I'm into. I like that. I like that America's doing well. The American games have been good, but I've been cursed, Steve. Every game I seem to watch outside of a few, there's not a lot going on.
Boring.
Ghana, England was a great game, but
I didn't watch Ghana, England.
Football.
It wasn't on. You called it football. Okay, we can't take you seriously. It's soccer, my friend. You know, it's soccer. You know, you have a Boston accent, my friend. You can call it soccer.
Well, we got our man Charlie Davies on tomorrow, 3:15. He's going to break down the U.S. Bosnia game for us. All right, that's our correspondent.
And we have a high school coach on the morning show.
Yeah, that's right. Shime.
6 to 10, you can hear Shime talk about high school soccer.
Steve, I have loved the World Cup. I really have, and I've been glad it's been here. I've been wildly disappointed with the crowds since Scotland left, though. They've let me down. Like that, when Scotland came here, it was a party. Downtown was a party. Yeah, I don't need to relive all the stuff that we saw down there. I mean, obviously, them drinking out all the bars and everything. Even, like, Iraq had a bunch of, like, partiers. Haiti did.
There were some anecdotal German stories that, because they're playing now, right? They're up against Paraguay. Did you see any German action down there yesterday?
No, Germany has been, I don't want to say non-existent, they've been around, but they're not, no one parties like the Scots, one's party at the Scots. Chris in Cape Cod on line two is mad that I called soccer boring. I did not call soccer boring. I said the games that I happen to watch have been boring. Do you understand that, Chris?
Well, I do, but on the same token, I think that let me give you my backstory. My family played, my grandfather played for Liverpool. My father played for Liverpool.
Wow, he must have been good then. You got to be good to play for Liverpool.
Well, yeah, but setting that aside, I think Americans don't like the game, or they find some of the games boring because, number one, the scoring is low, right? Because the fields are huge. We're used to looking at football fields, hockey arenas, you know, basketball courts that are much, much smaller. And so there is very quick up and down, and the play is extremely fast. Where soccer, if you look and take the time to look at the game as a whole, is a beautiful game because you've got long distance passes that the average guy couldn't do on any turf. But
Chris, I understand, and I totally appreciate how people have fallen in love with the beautiful game, but I don't want to see passes. I want to see a pass that in front of the goal that it leads to a goal, but midfield passes, snooze.
Like, right. I understand that, but that's part of the way the game has been set up, where they're playing on such large fields or pitches, right?
Yeah.
That's the issue.
If the field's too big. Nets, that's the problem. Make it smaller. Make it smaller for more scoring. Make the net like three times as big. Make them. Come on. Let's make this happen.
No, but here's the thing, right? That's us as Americans. The rest of the world doesn't see it that way. We see it that way because we're used to the sports that we have. The rest of the world only has one sport. Well, two: Formula One and soccer. Right?
They don't
watch anything else, really. I mean, Japan has baseball, you know, but for the
cricket's
most part,
big in, like, you know, India, if I'm not mistaken.
Right. But for the most part, they only have soccer. And that's why these guys like the Scottish are so fervent about their team, because that's all they have.
Well, Chris, there was something kind of cool. There was a video that they went out to Fenway Park yesterday, a bunch of people, and they interviewed, I guess the Germans were there. And they sure as hell didn't represent like Scotland did, because it didn't sound like there were a bunch of Germans there, but there were. But they were being interviewed, this group of Germans. They're like, well, what do you think about baseball? And they're like, I know a lot of people talk about how by the way, I can't do a German accent. I know a lot of people talk about how soccer is boring. Well, we think baseball is boring. And I thought Rod Bradford was going to bust through, you know, the tarp and like take him down. But I get it. It's like, you know, we're used to baseball, and you could think that it's, you know, I could see how someone from the outside looking in is like, dude, this is taking forever. But soccer's just, as I said, like I'm unlucky in that almost every match that I've watched has been the one where it's 0-0 or it's 0-1, and I appreciate it. But I also think that the reason soccer crowds are so crazy and they sing so many songs is because they're bored during matches.
Now, tomorrow, if it's 0-0, U.S. and Bosnia, late in the match, that will be exciting. Like, if you have a rooting interest in it, that's the biggest part of it, right? You just have to have a vested interest in one of the teams.
Yeah,
that
but
really
nil-nil at the end of the match, sure.
Then you get
penalty
kicks.
Kind of exciting. Like, please, yeah, like that, you're right. If it's an elimination game, absolutely.
Yeah.
Like, that part's great. But, I mean, these ones that can end in draws.
Oh, we're past that now.
Add fireworks to both. Baseball and soccer. There we go.
But this is to say, the NHL dealt with this too, by the way, before like they had the big lockout in the early 90s there, whatever it was, the mid-90s. The clutching and grabbing, like the trap. And we had people bitched about low scoring there, and it's evolved.
And Ken, I will also say that unfortunately, this year's World Cup isn't doing a lot to dispel the reputation of flopping from soccer players.
No, that's part of it.
It honestly looks like they've been sniped. Like, it looks like somebody has shot them from the rafters.
Of course.
And you'll see it, and like they'll get breathed on. Now, I know why you do it, because if it looks like you ended up, you know, getting harmed, then it's a benefit to your team. So, sure, I would teach
flopping.
Well,
you flopping. Like Les Mis. I mean, that's part of the drama, you know?
It's part of the drama. There's no question. It's very dramatic. But it's a tough thing to be an outsider and not be huge into soccer. And I want to like it so bad. I've watched so many matches, and I've gone to a couple bars to watch some matches, but I end up just like, looking at my phone.
Oh, squirrel.
Because they're not even in, they're not even, what do they call it, the box? They're not even in the box. Like, they're midfield.
What the corner kicks, like, how often do you score off a corner? Because I feel like you get, like, 20 or 30, and you get maybe one that really goes in.
And you get excited, right? It's like, oh, corner kick, here we go. Because you expect them to, like, kick it in, and then some guy does a header into the net.
Right.
You're like, woo, soccer.
That percentage needs to be higher. Somehow they got to make corner kicks lead to more offense.
It does. It does. And you know what? And I was lucky enough one time when I went over to Munich to go to a real soccer match over there.
Oh,
and the
Paraguay goal, by the way. As I speak, Paraguay 1, Germany 0. So we might have an upset on our hands here at Boston Stadium. So let me keep you posted.
There you go. And you know what? I took a look, and there was something online that I guess Boston is the second, like, highest
market,
World
yeah.
Cup watching market
yes, yeah.
out of all of them. Only Kansas City, I think, beats it.
Correct.
But Boston's right there. And as I said, my TV does not turn off. Like, when the World Cup's on, it just stays on. I just turn it on, whatever game's going to be on. I mean, there's a lot less now. But it's been great. I've loved it. It's been like the Olympics. You just keep it on in the background. You constantly watch it. It just seems any game that it's not on in the background that I make effort to watch, it happens to be the one where nothing is going on. Hell, even what's his name? Ronaldo played the other night, and that was like a nil-nil game, right? Didn't that one end up being like a nil-nil?
I don't know.
Yeah, I went to a bar to actually watch that, and it was like nothing happened.
Yeah, well, it's taken off now.
As I said, I'm still all in. I can't wait. I love that the USA team is kicking ass and taking names. That's been fun to watch. And go Cape Verde. So, although I just got a text that said that I guess the story isn't as great as I thought it was. So something bad happened.
Yeah, one of the players has some accusations filed against him. Yeah, that's not great.
Oh, well, then I take back everything I said. By the way, somebody who will not take back the things he said because he is a reporter, somebody who upset Jaylen Brown very much so over the weekend, not for the words he said, but for something he reported. We are going to have Bobby Marks. He's the person who reported that he had an analytics guy tell him that Jaylen Brown would be the seventh best person on the Boston Celtics, according to analytics, and that really ticked off Jaylen. So we'll have Bobby Marks on. We're not going anywhere. We'll have him on with us in 2 minutes.
The analytics of Jaylen Brown is not good. I'm more of an eye test guy. There are some people out there that look at that a little bit more deeper than what the eye test says. I had one, not an executive, but an analytics guy saying, well, yeah, we view him as like the seventh best player on a team. I was like, holy crap. So I was like, wait a minute, that's a little bit of a stretch there.
It is 93.7 WEEI. Rich certainly, Ken Laird, three-time Super Bowl champion Ted Johnson. And you can give us a call at 617-779-7937. And that right there is the voice of somebody who made our own Jaylen Brown go on a Twitter rant this weekend. And I got to be honest, Jaylen, I think that one comment there was worth four tweets from Jaylen Brown.
I know.
The first one was, analytics nowadays used to discredit and control narratives. Roll the ball out. None of these guys better than me on both ends. Who does he work for? And then he writes, very cocky here. He goes, nobody has won more combined regular season and playoff games since I entered the league 10 years ago. Then he wrote, analytics have and are ruining the game we are playing. And then he retweeted one more time our next guest and put, state your source. Well, the gentleman who said that, we are very happy to have him on. Bobby Marks is the NBA front office insider for ESPN. So, Bobby, did you know when you said that that you would be on the other end of the wrath of one Jaylen Brown?
I didn't. And I said, we live in this day and age of 19-second clips. I was like, what happened to the other 4 minutes when I was praising him and I was defending him and doing all that and everything that came with it? No, I did not think, I did not have that on my bingo card on Saturday afternoon that Jaylen Brown would be awfully upset with something I said. And to the point where my 20-year-old had, I'm out in LA for free agency. My 20-year-old called me and said, Dad, you just need to go out for a walk. Leave in the hotel room and just go. And I said, like, listen, I said it on TV on, Friday, and we did a segment today on TV. Like, I am a huge Jaylen Brown fan. Like, listen, if I was in a front office, I'd be looking to trade for him. But there is, I'm telling you, it's a crazy process where there's like a faction of people, and I don't know why, that are, built into the analytics and the on-court numbers. And we even put up a graphic today and showed that I guess he had the seventh best net rating on the roster. So, like, I mean, listen, I grew up in the 90s getting into this league, and as I said, I am more of an eye test. I do think there's a role for analytics and stats and everything that comes with it and stuff like that. But I do think there are some teams out there that have probably taken this a little bit too far. And I think if you talk to 20 front offices, they'll probably give you 20 different opinions on a guy who finished sixth in the NBA in MVP voting, is an NBA champ, and has the most, I think he's got the most wins, I don't even know, last five or six, or since he's gotten into the NBA. So, yeah, I think we've calmed down that argument for a little bit. That certainly picked up a lot on Saturday.
Yeah, it was kind of funny because people got mad at you when it wasn't even what you said. It was you reporting
state your source.
Heard. Yeah, right. But the one thing, I mean, you briefly mentioned it, but because the one thing that is interesting is when you talk to this, you know, these people who are big on analytics,
numbers,
and
they call
numbers.
You know what's funny, I joked this, and now we call it strategy. Like we call it, like we've gotten away from the analytics, and now we've given it a fancy name and everything. It's called strategy. Now.
Ah, yes. Whatever you call it, it's still confusing to me. So, people who are smarter with that stuff, I trust their word on this. But I would like to know, like when these people you spoke with said that he would be the seventh best player on the team, was it what was the? You mentioned net rating. Was there anything else that they used to justify that comment? Any other stat?
Sure. I mean, I think net rating came in play as plus minus is, you know, certainly I think he was a minus 10 plus minus one on the court and a minus six when he was off. He's the last 4 years. He's got, a negative net rating in the last 4 years. And certainly that probably includes them winning a championship. And I said, like, the pushback on me is that what it doesn't tell you is sometimes who he's on the court with, right? Who else is out there? What the time of, you know, is it garbage time down the stretch and everything like that? So I think you have to be awfully, awfully careful as far as when you're evaluating players and using that as kind of a crutch. And listen, he makes, as you guys know, he has, you know, 3 years, $183 million on his. It's a big number, but it's a big number for a guy that, you know, as I said, is a top 10 player.
How many GMs in the league, Bobby, do you think are heavy strategy guys, heavy analytics guys? They would use that stuff to decide what they're doing.
Yeah, I mean, we're in a little bit of a different, you know, I grew up with the old school, you know, the former players. You know, I grew up, Will Shrewd was my mentor when I got into the league and stuff like that. And he, you know, certainly grew up in a different era. But I do think we're in a new wave of, you know, of younger executives. I think the analytics, the strategy departments have grown significantly, where some teams are going 5-6 deep, maybe even more. So it's almost like a little bit of a baseball approach where we went money ball for a long time. And I think that's kind of crept into the NBA and everything like that. So I think there's split. I don't know what the number would be and everything like that, but there are a fair amount of people who look at kind of that compared to what the guy actually has done on the court.
So would you be open, Bobby, to saying who did say that about Jalen?
No, I can't. It's like me, like, we, you know, we sources, I'm like doing that. I don't want the delve of, and listen, and it wasn't, I'll tell you, it wasn't, you know, that was the one comment to that, but I've talked to team executives over the weekend, like I'm telling you, and I don't agree with it. There is some mixed opinions as far as what how teams view Jalen. And I, for the record, I am not in that group there.
And now, Bobby, when these people you spoke with, was it just because of the analytics, or was there something also about some of the off court things? Because we've talked a lot about that.
Yeah, I don't. No, that wasn't brought up. That wasn't brought up, and everything like that. I I had Billy King as my boss when I was in Brooklyn for, I guess, the 3 or 4 years Billy was there. And he had Allen Iverson. And I'm not saying Jalen Brown is in the conversation as Allen Iverson. All right? I'm not saying that. But I would say, like, the pushback on what, you know, whether it be streaming or some of the comments would be like, listen, if a guy is an MVP candidate, you deal with some of the other things that maybe come along with it and stuff like that. You know, if he was a, you know, end of the bench, you know, 14, 15th man, maybe you look at it a little bit differently here. But no, I didn't get pushed back as far as, you know, some of the things out there. You know, we know Jalen Brown. You guys have covered him for, you know, listen, he's outspoken, and he'll say what's on his mind, and sometimes it's great, sometimes it's you'd probably ask him not to and everything. I saw his dad went after Perk over the weekend too. Yeah. So I'm glad I wasn't the only one who
we got a lot of action these days around here.
Yeah. So, but yeah, I mean, I would hope not because I've never seen his name in legal stuff or anything like that. I mean, like, there's, you know, so from that, I don't think so.
Bobby, so we just had the news break that Ja Morant is going to go to Portland, which is one of those potential landing spots we've heard about for Jalen. How do you see that as a fit for a Brown trade?
Yeah, it's interesting. Like I always say, there's always a part like 2, 3, and 4 to deals. You know, there's the initial trade. They got a lot of guards there, guys. You know, you look at their roster. I mean, you've got Ja, you've got Drew Holiday, you've got Dame coming back, and you've got Scoot Henderson and Shaedon Sharpe. So, like, you're not going to be able to fit all that. There was no picks involved and everything like that. So I would think, new ownership is always a wild card just because of what they're trying to do and everything. So they've got the draft assets if they want to do something. I think the interesting thing is, like, you know, Boston doesn't have to trade them. You know, I think if they feel like the relationship is salvageable, I don't know if it's gotten to that point. Don't do something that where you're getting, 50 cents on the dollar. You know, you could always take your cards off the table and walk away and figure out maybe just you do something maybe if it's next year or not. Because, if it's draft picks or players and stuff like that, you're not going to get what you would have been able to get in the honest deal. Like that's not coming your way. So I do think it will be interesting how this develops over the next couple of days if nothing materializes and you just basically kind of, punt towards next year.
Well, Bobby, from the executives that you've spoken with, how aggressive are the Celtics right now in trying to trade Jaylen Brown?
Aggressive. They're not just taking calls. They're putting calls out there and everything. So, yeah, I would say aggressive and really just looking like, hey, make an offer. Put something on the board. Let's make something that makes sense and everything. And if it makes sense for us, we'll go down that road. And they haven't gone down that road as of right now.
If you had to, just from a feel that you have, if you had to put a percentage on how confident you are that Jaylen Brown is going to be traded, what would that percentage be?
If you had asked me Friday, I would have said I thought there was probably an 85% chance that he would. If you ask me on Monday, it's Monday, right? Monday evening, I would say I would probably flip that and probably say there would be more of an 85% chance that he won't.
Wow. Is it because they're not getting what they're asking for, the Celtics?
I just think there's nothing out there and that could change a lot. It really could. I just think there's nothing out there that makes, to my knowledge, and I've talked with Shams and Brian, and certainly everybody who's in tune with everything. And there's just nothing there of that would be worthy of trading the top 10 player in the NBA.
Did the Celtics incorrectly judge the market for Jaylen Brown?
I think, listen, Brad and Mike and that group and Joe, they're smart. They knew, like, once they engaged with Milwaukee regarding Giannis, they knew that there was going to have to be a fallout as far as with Jaylen's name being out there and everything like that. So, I mean, anytime you can go out and trade for Giannis, you do it, and it would have to have cost Jaylen and everything like that. So I don't think they've misjudged the market and everything like that. I just think the market has been pretty cool.
Wow. Well, Bobby Marks, great stuff. And, yeah, just take a weekend off of social, or a couple more days off social media. It'll all blow over.
There's always one summer where I piss off somebody, whether it be an owner or a player. This summer was the player, I guess.
Better Jaylen than his dad, from where I'm sitting.
Oh yeah, I know.
I'm glad I heard the dad interview and stuff. I'm glad I did not. My two colleagues, Stephen A. and Perk, were caught in the crossfires there. So I'm glad I was not in that. And part of that group.
Oh, well, Stephen A's loving it. I mean, anytime you get like an athlete to just validate what you're saying, now, is like, hell
however,
yeah.
he did defend him on Saturday afternoon when all that came out and stuff like that. So he did say some positive things about him.
Oh, good. Well, good. I love how whenever Jaylen Brown says anything about Stephen A, you're going to hear Stephen A do 20 minutes on one podcast, 10 minutes on First Take, 30 minutes on the other podcast. I got it for 14 podcasts. And it's just, that he loves it, which I would too if I was him. I was like, hell yeah, I'm being validated. This is great.
Yeah.
All right. Well, Bobby, great stuff. And thanks
Appreciate
for coming on with us. We'll have you on
again soon. Thanks, Bobby.
Thanks.
Sounds good, guys. Take care.
Thanks. I think my big takeaway on that is that he said on Friday he thought 85% chance that Jalen was going to get traded, but after this disastrous weekend, he thinks it's an 85% chance that he's not going to get traded.
That's huge. And apparently Shams just said the Trailblazers are not actively pursuing Jalen Brown and view Ja Morant as their big move. So
I'm sorry. I disagree with him. I think the Celtics completely misjudged the market on this.
Right.
And no one's taken. No one's taken on Jalen Brown right now.
You are right.
Wow. Which is a good thing. I want to keep Jalen Brown around. I don't want to get pieces and parts. Giannis was a different story. Giannis is a star player. I'm glad this is kind of – so thank you, Jalen. If you had anything to do with it by running your mouth and saying this is your favorite season without Jason Tatum, then I was a big smooch is coming your way. Thank you so much.
A lot of Twitch streams in our future. Here we go.
Here they go. 617-779-7937. We'll be right back. It's 93.7 WEEI. And this drive home is brought to you by Town Fair Tire. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. It's Rich, certainly. Ken Laird, Ted Johnson. You can give us a call at 617-779-7937. I thought Bobby was great. I thought that was really, really interesting. I mean, the fact that, you know, before the weekend, he's like 85% they are all in getting rid of Jalen Brown. Now he's saying 85% they can't get rid of him. Well, he didn't say that, but he said 85% that they're not going to trade him. But it sure does sound like every time that there's a rumored team that could be in on Jalen Brown, like a day later or half a day later, it's like so-and-so is out on Jalen Brown. And whether they're being scared away or whether the Celtics are asking for too much, I don't, or whether it just seems like he'd be a pain in the ass. I don't know. All I know is it's...
But we're crossing teams off. Houston's off, according to Bill Simmons, and now we know that Portland's off, according to Shams Charania. So your places to trade them are dwindling.
Man, some smart GM somewhere is going to trade for Jalen Brown for peanuts.
Charlotte Hornets. Sounds
like, maybe. All I know is that the Celtics seem to be hell-bent on wanting to get rid of him. And if I'm another team who's not listening to analytics and not listening to guys like this dude that Bobby Marks talked to that said he's the seventh best player and actually watching this dude play, I'm saying to myself, let all these nerds who are, you know, looking at computer programs telling him who to trade for and who not to trade for, let them stumble all over themselves in the other direction. I'll take the dude that I know is a great player. And I'm thinking that if he does get traded, whoever is going to get him is going to end up getting the bargain of a lifetime. And next year, it's going to be that person's going to win GM of the year.
Good job, by the way, trying to get Bobby to reveal the nerd's name. He would not do so, but he took a stab. State your source, basically, in so many words.
I didn't even know if he had a problem revealing a source. It's just he said, I talked to an analytics guy who said this, and I was like, well,
right.
Jalen, I'll do you a solid. I'll try to find out who the source is. Hey, Jalen, you know, you and me, right here. Right here. I got your back, buddy. I tried to get him to state his source. Somebody get that chunk of audio and put at FWCPO or whatever
it is. Right.
You know, send that to him and just say, you know what? Rich has got your back.
Rich got your back. As we both do. I mean, I wanted him gone for Giannis, I'll fully admit. But now I want him back fully because there's nothing else out there that looks any good whatsoever. I mean,
Ken hates you, Jalen. He hates you.
I hate Jalen.
He said that from the very beginning. He said, I hate Jalen. He's not a fan of yours. Remember, copy this segment right here and then send it to him.
I'm fine. You can push it off. Bobby said that. Push that. You can trade him next year. You can trade him at the deadline. You don't have to trade him right now. You have the luxury of that. He's got 3 years left on the deal. It could be a problem. I fully admit you're going to have to manage the relationship, which is tough.
Yeah.
But it's good for us in the media. Because there'll be something new that you'll be reading into every day. Memes flying left and right.
No question. All right, let's launch some take grenades, shall we?
Incoming!
You have been leaving your take grenades for us on the Odyssey app. You press that microphone button, you leave us a message, and we play them right here in the 5 o'clock hour. And these take grenades are brought to you by Milligan & Higgins, OUI and criminal defense attorneys. Go to milliganandhiggins.com for a free consultation. All right, Stiz, pull.
If we did trade Jalen for picks and young players, what's a package that would actually make you want to go for it?
Yeah.
None.
Exactly. I mean,
none.
The Portland wouldn't even trade Donovan Klingon. I mean, I mean, few people knew who he was before this started. Now you're like, God, I hope they could get Klingon in four firsts. I mean, there ain't much out there.
I want to win now. And if you do a trade like that, then that means you're putting this off. Jason Tatum is in his prime right now. You were last year favored to win the East and potentially win a championship, and all of a sudden everything's changed and you want to start all over again.
Grandy has said he went and said Zion Williamson. I mean, I guess he's still young, sort of, but like that's Grandy's guy. Take a swing at Zion. Maybe.
You know what? I can imagine Zion being like when the Celtics got Shaq. And like I remember that first month when Shaq was healthy, it was the greatest basketball team I've ever seen in my life. Like they were absolutely un-effing stoppable. And then of course what happened to Shaq? Shaq broke.
Yep.
And that's what's going to happen to Zion. Zion's going to come here, have a month, and be like, oh, my God, greatest trade ever, cannot be stopped, and then he's going to break.
He's never not been broke. I mean, he's permanently broke.
My man is. All right, let's go to the next one.
Bradford, you're such a fool. You think we need good vibes? Are you really sitting and spewing this stuff, you homer? We need good vibes. That's what we need. You idiot, we need bats, okay? Get off the train, man. Just get off the train. You're too old. Go to bed.
Well, Bradford said that. I think
get off the train? What, is that a term?
I don't know. Get off the train? Throw mama from the train?
Have some good vibes, man.
Byron Buxton or Jeremy Pena? Do you like my ideas? Nobody seems to be seconding my emotions.
No, I'm not. Come on, Ken. Get off the train. Okay. You're way too happy. All right, let's go to the next one.
Rich, I'm tired of you saying that Jaylen Brown's getting an unfair shake because he's a great basketball player. The dude is just continuously doing it to himself. So it's about as fair as you can possibly get. No one else is doing it to him. He's the one firing back at all these Twitter nerds. He's the one that said it was his favorite season when Jason Tatum didn't play and they lost in the first round of the playoffs in historical fashion. He's doing it to himself. I understand he's a great basketball player, but he's making his own bed. He's got to lay in it, whether that be in Boston or somewhere else.
He's supposed to be doing journalism.
By the way, he's absolutely right. If I said it was unfair.
Jaylen Brown? Jared Duran?
Yes. What? Thank you. Appreciate that, wherever that came
from. Was that Mama Fratelli?
Mama Fratelli calling
it. Is that a new one?
If I said he was... I don't even know what he said now. It was something along the... Oh, yeah. I do think that people's perception of Jaylen Brown, my point was supposed to be, and I may have even misstated it because I can do that sometimes, is that I believe that the way that he's handled himself since the end of the season is clouding people's perception of his play.
Right.
Because
he needs to start playing again. We just get back in the court. Everybody will forget this. You know?
Yes, absolutely. No question. But
I get it. But at the same time, I don't.
That's right. So he's absolutely right if I stated it that way. I should not have. So, yes, sir, you are correct. Let's go to the next one. Hello.
Oh boy, this is like Jaylen Brown. Brand new airmail in a second.
Jared Duran.
She is back.
I personally, as a great-grandmother, love you, appreciate you, and am grateful for you. No hurtful, hateful words will come out of my mouth, except for the ass bullies out there. Karma comes around.
Oh, wow.
Mama Fratelli, you never disappoint.
Except
I thought you got
the ass bullies out there.
Yeah, Dallas bullies.
I thought you'd gone soft on us for a moment, Mama Fratelli. Then you came right back. Oh, I love you. Smooches all over. That was fantastic. Yes. I don't know what she's talking about, but she just wanted to be angry. Jaylen Brown, Jaren Duran. Oh, fantastic. You know what? Can we go to commercial? Can I hear Jackson's Hooters song? Because I was singing it all weekend long my head.
Jeez, wow.
Random.
Before we do can I get in our league leaders and who's circling the drain while Stiz finds that?
Of course.
Okay. League leaders and who's circling the drain, presented by Drains by James, Eastern Mass's leader in residential and commercial drain cleaning and pipelining at drainsbyjames.com. They give a poop about your pipe at Drains by James. How about this from @SoxNotes? Two teams in the big leagues have three pitchers with sub-3 ERAs and 10 or more starts. One's the Dodgers, one your Red Sox. League-leading Red Sox. Gray, Tolley, Suarez, you got three aces on this team. How about that?
Well, you know who else is circling the drain? A restaurant chain that's no longer around. That would be Jackson's favorite place, Hooters.
Hey, Hooters, all I know is please don't go, hey, Hooters. Hey, Hooters. Hey, Hooters, please don't leave. How will these girls get degrees? Hey, Hooters. Hey, Hooters. Hey, Hooters, hear me sing. I love boobies and I love wings. Hey, Hooters. Hey, Hooters. Hey Hooters, it's goodbye. I've been going there since I can drive. Hey Hooters. Hey Hooters.
Oh yeah. Is this Shifty Shell Shock and the Smooth Towns of Sounds of Crazy Town?
That's right.
I've never seen a band get booed off the stage more than I did Crazy Town at Ozfest.
I know Brett. I'm friends with Brett.
Oh, that's a shame because they got murdered one time. I mean, absolutely crucified. There was I think Zakk Wylde's band, Black Label Society. They were the first band of the day on Ozfest, and Ozfest used to have this thing that was so great, and more tours should do this, like more festivals. It was a revolving stage they had for a year where one band would play, and behind that band, the other band would be setting up. So when it was one band was over, the stage would just revolve.
Oh, awesome.
And right there was the next band. It was amazing. So Zakk Wylde gets up there, and he's got his big-ass Viking beard, and they're singing songs about, you know, like Nordic Norsemen and stuff, and crushing brews, and, oh, this song's about the Eric the Red, how he came over here, was a real man, and forged iron. It's called the Berserkers. And then they would kick in, and they would do their Viking metal. And then when they were done, I mean, the place was, like, in a frenzy for being an opening band at a festival at, like, 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Everyone was going crazy, and he's like, see you, mother effers! We'll see you next week! And then the stage revolves, and Crazy Town is on stage, and the two dudes have microphones, and they brought all these strippers to, like, watch them from the side stage, and they start going, yeah, we're gonna, and they're all talking at the same time, and in one giant united finger was just flipped from the middle finger from the entire crowd, like, F you! And you immediately saw the strippers go from, oh my gosh, we're hanging out with rock stars, with, oh my gosh, I don't want to be seen with these losers afterwards.
A butterfly backlash.
Yes, yes. By the way,
I just pulled up a video of this. Ozzy spinning around on that stage in the chair looks awesome.
Oh, it's great.
Like just sitting there like a badass and just coming right around.
It was a great idea. All right, real quick, Ken, you being the big music guy, that song right there, mm-hmm. What band is that a sample from?
I actually don't know. I should know that.
That would be the Red Hot Chili Peppers' Pretty Little Ditty. That is
okay.
A Red Hot Chili Peppers sample right there. All right, let's go. Mm. Oh, by the way, it is Rich, Ken, and Ted Johnson here on 937 WEEI. And this final break is brought to you by Cars for Kids, the easiest way to get rid of your old car. Donate today, and your car can be picked up tomorrow. Donate now at carsforkids.com. That's cars with a K. Let's go to Justin. What's happening, Justin?
Hey, gentlemen. I have a quick question and a quick point to make afterwards. Is it okay for a professional athlete to threaten repeatedly to physically assault fans when the fans are just telling them to catch or hit the baseball? Is that okay?
So if you're talking about Jaren Duran, obviously it's been an issue. But I don't know. Did he physically threaten to assault somebody? I don't know. Do we know what he said?
Yes. According to eyewitnesses, Jaren Duran threatened to have the guy come down to the field and they could take it, work on it, you know, between themselves on the field, which is threatening to beat the crap out of the guy. And eyewitnesses also confirm the guy just was pointing out his batting average.
Yeah.
Similar to eyewitnesses, Ken and Rich, in Minnesota, there's been an investigation and nobody can find any credible claims that a fan told Jaren Duran those heinous things. So all that I'm saying is I'm getting really pissed off. I've seen Jaren Duran do this twice in person in Baltimore to people that I was sitting around where they told him to catch the ball and he threatened to fight him and kick their ass. So I just don't understand how Chad Tracy can not only reward Jaren Duran by getting the fan ejected for doing nothing, but what he is setting as an example for the young players in this clubhouse, along with fans like me and you guys who sit there. I don't want to be threatened by a baseball player, and I'm just not hearing it on the radio. Is this acceptable behavior whenever the fan says or allegedly does anything wrong, is immediately getting criticized?
You know, Justin, actually, we will ask Chad Tracy about that tomorrow. It's a very good call I got to think Chad Tracy will join us at 2:30 tomorrow because at some point, yeah, I mean, that has to be dealt with. And I do believe was he benched at the beginning of the game yesterday?
He didn't start. He didn't play. It was against a lefty, of course, Rodon, but, you know, still, it was a convenient benching. He's had a few of those to kind of gather himself.
Yeah, but it's an issue now. Like, there's enough of a track record with him pulling this that I don't know what the plan is. I don't know what's been said to him. I think it's a fair question to ask Chad Tracy tomorrow.
Well, they've obviously reportedly tried to trade him a couple times, but the market is not there. Speaking of robust market, I mean, it's tough to move him. I mean, and get value. He's if in a vacuum, you know, you looked at the player a couple years ago, he had like an 8-WAR season. This year's been a different story, but you want to get something back for him, but at some point, you're right. And then again, he just had the walk-off hit last night, so it's not like...
I'm totally with Justin, though. I've been saying this for a little while. You're the athlete. It's just, that's it, point blank. You are the professional athlete. You have to be better.
If it's out of line, that's one thing, but if it was just his batting average, then...
Yeah, because that was the report that came out from it was a guy who called into the Hillman show, so I don't know if that's a real report, but it's somebody who, that's all I've heard, is that somebody was yelling his batting average. And if that's the case, then dude, you got to suck it up, man. Got to suck it up, and you got to turn all that off.
Yep.
We talked to Chad Tracy briefly about it when he went after Michael Holly, and you know, I think that they spoke a little bit to kind of keep everything in the clubhouse. But you can't be jawing off to fans like that if there's no reason. And you know what? And then if I also don't like the fact that, you know, there's people speculating that when they jaw off to fans, they make up the things that the fans said sometimes. And sometimes, you know, they're telling the truth. So it's a weird spot to be in. He's got too much of a track record now that I think it's a fair question to ask Chad Tracy. Like, how are you going to prevent this from happening in the future?
Now, similarly, do you think the Celtics reached out to Jalen about him chirping at Bobby Marks, and like, or do they not care about that? You know, like, if he's going to be, you know.
They're trying to trade him.
Are they?
Do your thing, man. You're not going to be our problem much longer.
Not for Bobby Marks. He said 85% staying, which is the shocker of the day.
That is because there's no other reason for that other than the Celtics can't get anything for him.
Well,
like, people
again,
are scared of taking on Jalen Brown. Yep, maybe you're right. Maybe you're right. You're absolutely. By the way, yesterday, I think this was right when the game went off. I had you know, turned off Peacock. I was not one of the people who got my game, the Red Sox game, cut off by golf action.
Yeah,
which I must suck. But I turned it off, and I think it was ESPN News that I turned it to, and there was a boat jumping competition. Have you ever seen this before?
No.
It's like, I didn't think the Ocho started for like a while now, but they had this thing that looked like it was made in like 10th grade media productions class, and it was these women who were on a lake, like Lake Geneva or something in Michigan.
Was it the Enhanced Games?
No. They were on this like slow-moving boat, and they were being timed on jumping off the boat, running on the dock to the mailbox, grabbing the mail, and then jumping back on the boat in time before it leaves. And I was mesmerized.
Glued to it. Mailboat jumping. Yeah.
I was, is she going to make the boat? Is she going to do it? And the camera angles were awful. It honestly looked like an eighth grader went out and filmed this whole thing. And like the way that they would put the scoreboard up, it honestly looked like something from like a 1986 DOS program. It was great.
You'll
if anybody
watch
knows
that,
what
but
I'm
you won't
about,
watch the World Cup. I mean, shame on you.
No, I told you I'm watching the World Cup. I watch a lot of the World Cup. I'm just saying I'm not entertained by a lot of the games. The games aren't very good. I was mesmerized by it. If anyone knows what I'm talking about, 617-779-7937. I know we're about to leave. But it was this like weird thing that was on TV last night, and it was this kind of slow-moving boat that would pull up to a dock that had a mailbox on it, and these women would, they're like women would jump off, and they would grab the mail, and they would jump back on the boat. I don't know.
Well, it's like maybe the greasy pole competition. I mean, these are the things that cut through in the summer, you know?
The greasy pole competition is the best.
Yep.
Congrats to the winner. I saw your
Derek
video.
Hopkins, yeah. Did it again.
Was he Friday or Saturday's big winner? I forgot that there's two different
I think
ones,
Sunday's
right?
The champions walk, so.
Oh, hell yeah, it is. All right, everybody. Well, have yourself a wonderful evening. Bask in the glow of a Red Sox sweep of the Yankees. Tomorrow we talk to you when Jalen Brown is no longer here. We will have all the biggest experts on. Scalabrine, Chris Mannix. What do we do now that Jalen Brown is no longer on the team? Thanks for listening to us. We will talk to you again tomorrow. Everybody enjoy jumping off boats and delivering mail. Bye!